Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, our meditation, desire to read from the first epistle of Peter, chapter number 5. I'd like to read just some of the closing exhortations in this chapter, beginning with verse number 6 through 11. And with God's help, I'll look into those verses. So, First Epistle of Peter, chapter 5, beginning with verse 6 through 11. Ljubav za želenje su pročita iz prve poslanice Petrove, peta glava, šesti broj do 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. The Apostle Paul, or the Apostle Peter, I should say, here in this epistle that we have read, is encouraging and exhorting the believers in that day, and this word stands for eternity. That which he had wrote, his encouragement to the believers of old in that time, remains as an encouragement for us. So as we had prayed together, we realize the times that we live in, the evil that is about us and so on, but nothing, the exhortation didn't need to change in any way. God did not need to speak through, to give a new revelation to anyone since this writing back when it was written. Everything that he had instructed pertains to generations throughout time. Nothing changes. The heart of man never changes. Evil, Satan and his antics, his ways to defeat us continually is an onslaught, as we read here in this chapter. He talks about a describing of who Satan is. He describes him as an adversary. We know an adversary is an enemy. An adversary is an enemy, someone who goes completely against you, against me. So think of the devil as an absolute adversary who portrays himself as a friend, as one who cares about us, one who wants to give us the things that are going to make us happy, the things that will make that lift us up, that make us feel good about ourselves, that make us proud, that make us the very things that Jesus came to defeat ourselves, us, so that we would have victory over self, over sin, over Satan. And he talks about him as an adversary. He's an adversary. He's an enemy. The devil, described as a roaring lion, one who is walking around looking, as it says here, seeking whom he may devour, to swallow us up, to destroy us. That's his goal, sole goal. Doesn't care about you or me. He wants to keep me and you. And the attack that he makes, we see is going to be the very thing that we are instructed to use to fend him off. He says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. My faith, your faith, our faith, brothers and sisters, my dear friends, is the only thing that we have to use to thwart or defeat the roaring lion, the enemy who is looking to destroy us. And we know that Apostle Paul, he says when he talks about the armor of God, he speaks of the many different aspects of the armor of God. He says in closing of the whole armor of God, he says, above all. So he talks about having the whole armor of God, and then when he comes towards the end, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is the manner in which we can defeat Satan and all of the temptations, the afflictions, the many different things that he will cast, the arrows, as he's called, as fiery darts, the darts that will set our soul on fire if we allow it to penetrate through our faith. And it is, and so he says here, resist him steadfastly in the faith. In other words, do what Paul said. Take the shield of faith above all, so you could overcome and defeat him. Apostle Paul talks much about faith, and he speaks to the Galatians, a church who was being pressured or instructed to live by works, to do this and to do this in order to show faithfulness and so on. And Paul always turned against that idea and against those thoughts, where he talks so much, and he mentions it more than anyone, well, his writings are more than anyone's, but he talks about so much about the phrase in Christ. Being in Christ is the manner in which we are to live. Because he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So being in Christ is the life which I now live in the flesh. I live how? Do I live it by the things that I do? He says, no, I live it by the faith. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So our faith, when we question what is faith, like how do I increase my faith? How am I going to be able to do the very things that, you know, as Paul is describing here, I'm not alive. Christ is living in me. It's Christ who has made me who I am. It's not my own strength. It's not what I've done to merit or to earn or to deserve anything. It's Christ, the completed work upon the cross, what he has done for me. He has given me that through my faith in him, he will live in me. And he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And he says here in verse 10, but the God of all grace, the God of all grace, think about that. God gives us the grace. And what is grace? It is him. It is our Lord Jesus. He says, the God of all grace, the grace that takes in this time that Peter is writing this, the ruler is Nero, who is seeking to destroy the Christians from off the face of the earth. He says, he's not worried about, because the God of grace will give us, he says, the grace through the afflictions. And even as the brother prayed, it kind of shocked me and immediately made me question, really, so be it? He said, and that is exactly what the apostles are telling us. If we go through trials, serious temptations and trials and afflictions and suffering, so be it. Because the God of all grace will give us the grace to go through that, no matter what it is. He gives us the grace to go through the trials and the afflictions, he said, which are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So they are going through these afflictions, but the God of grace will give them the grace that they need. Even as Apostle Paul was assured again, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't think that I will put you through anything. The devil is out as a roaring lion. We know that in the book of Job, we see how he goes, he says, as the angels are around and Satan comes to present, and he does not bring an accusation against Job that is not true. He can't. Is he going to go before God and lie to God? He can't. So he says, yes, he's faithful. He knows he's faithful. Because his armor is impenetrable. Job cannot be reached by Satan. And he sees that. But he says, but it's because of the edge that you've built around him. That's why. And what did God do? For his own glory. For his own glory, he was going to show that, no, that's not why my servant is faithful. He has a confidence and a faith in me. And we hear Job later say, though he slay me, he's not going to give up on his Lord. And so the devil, is he going to present me or you to the throne of God in a lie? No. Does he need the lie? Does he need the lie? Can he pick out some truth in my behavior, in my life, and just say, this is your servant. This is your servant. Look at him. He has no victory. He can't. Is that glorifying to God? When I am presented as what I really am. Because Satan sees, he knows. He knows if he's reached me, because he's there. He says he is walking about all the time. He's always in motion. Always in motion, looking to destroy. He's an adversary. He's an enemy. The enemy that never sleeps, an enemy that never tires, an enemy that will never give up. Never. Until, as he is called the prince of the air, when that will be taken away from him. And so he says here, he goes, he's as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may simply devour. And so, dear ones, he's encouraging us. Peter knows about this more than anyone does. Because Jesus gave him the means. He told him, watch, watch, and pray. Why? He goes, because the devil is seeking to sift you as wheat. Peter, who he was so confident, he didn't say that just in a show-off way. He actually believed that he would never deny his Lord. He believed it, that he would never deny him. And he said, not I. They might, but not me. I will never deny you. And Jesus told him, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you. And he encourages them to strengthen the brethren when you're converted. When you're repented, when you've seen by your own strength, by your own abilities, you have failed, you have denied me, that you don't even know me. One who walked, who gave you the strength to walk on water, the only man we know of that has ever walked on water, a man, Peter, walked on water, and he denied him. How is that even possible? How is that possible? He says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. Don't let your faith waver, because it is faith that transforms us. When we believe in the Son of God, when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we know him for who he is, when he reveals himself to us, we see his splendor, we see his beauty, we see his love, even as we have prayed, the love that he had for us and giving himself for us. And then he doesn't leave us like that. He lives in us. We are in him. He is in us. He encourages us along the way. He gives us the grace to stay faithful unto him. What do we need? resist him in the faith. Don't let your faith waver. Don't doubt. Don't be afraid. The moment we are afraid of a man is when we show that we do not fear God. And Peter went to that level. He went to that level. He feared a damsel. A man who recognized and said, "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. The one who was prophesied of, the one who I know of, who I've seen, who you've shown me who you are." Dear ones, you will never tire of reading, learning, and praying for revelation of who he is. It is our faith in him. And what does faith look like? What does it look like? Because he says, this is how you will resist the devil. Steadfastly in the faith. Paul says, put on that, or pick up that shield above everything else. Put that, because with that shield, with faith, everything else is added. If you don't have faith, if you don't believe, that's what faith is. It's a belief. It's a belief in that very, in something that is not, that you cannot see. You believe that someone will do something that they say you do, that they will do, and so on. And so a belief of who God is, that he came to die for me, and not only to absolve me, or if I could use that word of the penalties of sin, but he gives us faith, gives me the power over sin. Dear ones, it's easy. It's delightful. It's beautiful to hear you are forgiven. You're forgiven. But then he told the lady at the well, the woman at the well, neither do I condemn thee. You're forgiven. And go and sin no more. Why? Because he is telling her, I have the power over sin. My dear friend, my dear brother, my dear sister, the only thing that condemns us, Satan cannot condemn us. He couldn't condemn Job. Sin condemns us. Unrepented sin condemns us. And he says, resist him steadfast in the faith. It's what James says also. I know I've said it many times. He says, submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. He cannot, you and I are zero match, no match, no match. Peter was no match to the devil. Peter walked on water. Peter walked with Christ, saw the miracles, saw everything, saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. He saw things that you and I have never seen. And he was no match for the devil. No match. So James says, submit yourselves to God. And this is what he's saying. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand. It's not just the hand of God. It's a mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves under his hand so that he may exalt you in due time. It's when we are humble, then he can exalt. But if we're going to exalt ourselves, what's there for him to exalt? He exalted Job because Job was faithful to him. And so he exalted him. When we are faithful, when our faith shines through and we resist him steadfast in the faith and we submit ourselves unto God, he says that he may exalt you in due time. And that's what exactly what James is also saying. He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How are you going to purify your heart? How am I going to purify my heart? Without faith, you can't. If you don't believe that what Jesus has done was the purpose of was to restore us back to him because he loves us and doesn't want to leave us in our sins. You know, the scripture tells us a beautiful passage that was brought up in some conversations I had this week was, who is man? What is man? What is a man that thou art mindful of him? What am I that the Lord was so mindful of me that he came and to suffer, to be humble, to be meek for me? What is man that thou art mindful of him? The Lord, the creator of the universe, as the brother prayed, with just a spoken word, everything came into existence. When you look at our body, the way it's created, King David just marvels at it and says, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, how everything works in unison. It wasn't a trial. It wasn't like, okay, but if I do this, he just spoke it. He created it. He created us. And he gave us a will. And he gave us his son. He gave us his son. Why? Because he is mindful of us. So these are the things that the angels desire to look into. There's an innumerable company of angels around the throne praising him. And he came here because of you and I. Because of me, because of you, he came here. He's receiving the praises from perfect celestial beings who know no sin. We do. We let our angers flare up. We let our thoughts wander. We let all kinds of things into our hearts and in our eyes and through our eyes and then through everything. We let everything in. And Jesus says, I will go for them. Because to leave us is to forsake us. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But we will leave him. And we will forsake him. Because we don't believe. Every sin that we do is showing that we do not believe. We do not believe what he says. And we're going to say, no, 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 no. Yes, yes, yes. Because Jesus himself said, and Stephen echoed those same words, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. Because if they knew that the Lord of glory was being crucified, they wouldn't have done it. They didn't believe. When we fall into sin, it's because I believe that I can do that. I can. And is that a willful sin? What is it? What is it? Unrepented sin condemns me. Condemns me. Satan can't. He can't come and lie to God. He can't do that. He doesn't even try. I've never heard of an instance where he tries to lie to God. But he lies to me. And he lies to you. And we believe him. We believe this is going to be good for me. Whatever I'm going to do, it's going to be good for me. He says, cast all your care upon him. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, we sang this song, who is he that careth for us? That means all our anxieties, all our, you know, everything that is taking place even now in the world, it's things that we're not accustomed to. Maybe other nations are. But we believed, because we believed a lie, we believed that things were different in the United States, and we're starting to see things that we didn't really expect. And it may cause us anxiousness and fear. And so he says, cast all your care upon him. Don't worry. Why? He cares for you. He cares for you. Why should I worry? He cares for me. But he tells me, be sober. Be vigilant. Just like he told Peter, watch. That's what this sober, the, you know, we know soberness means to stay away from abuse of alcohol and so on. But in here he's actually saying, be watchful, watch. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. And what gives me so much comfort is we read who he is. It's scary. It's scary who the, I mean, a roaring lion walking about looking to destroy me. I know he has the scent to find me anywhere. A lion can find me. He can smell me from who knows how far away. I don't even know, but it's so, and he's looking for me. He's hungry. I'm dead. I don't have a chance against him. But he says, you do. It's faith. Believe. Believe me. And so through the, as we read in Hebrews, some were sawn asunder. Some received deliverance. Some didn't. But as we prayed, be it what it is. God's going to give me the grace. I have to believe that. He's going to give me the grace through life. He's going to give me the grace through death. He's going to give me grace through every affliction, through every trial, through every temptation. He will be there. It's a promise that he has made. He cannot go back on his covenant that he makes. And the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he's going to make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You may go through these things, but you're going to have him. And it says, him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Is that our life, a picture of my life? Giving him glory, dominion forever. All my life, my trust and faith is in him. If I don't have faith, it is impossible. Impossible to please him. I can give everything I have to feed the poor. If I don't have the faith, it does me nothing. And so, dear ones, as Apostle Peter has experienced this, he's experienced on his own skin. He saw what his confidence in himself led him to. A denial of his Lord. He saw that. He felt it. He felt the bitterness of wandering off, seeing his Lord crucified. And he refused to say that he knows him. He denied him. I don't know him. You know, dear ones, if we are ever ashamed to say what is right, in the moment that it needs to be said, it's because we're ashamed. How is that person going to think of me? What are they going to think of me? What is it? It's easier to just be quiet. It's easier. Yes, it is. It's much easier. But it's not beneficial. The spiritual man will suffer greatly and may continue to spiral downward and disappear. A man in sin is in great danger. He's in condemnation. Sin and Satan is awful. We fear Satan, but let's not fear Satan. Let's fear sin, which comes through Satan. But I don't have to fear Satan because I can resist him, steadfast in the faith. So what I need to ask from my Lord is, Lord, help me to believe. Help me to believe who you are and reveal thyself to me so that I can actually know you. Because I believe, dear ones, if we really know him, we will never deny him. It's because we don't know him. It's because we don't spend time to know him and his greatness and his love and compassion and mercy, his tenderness, all of who he is. That's why we stray. That's why we wander. And that's why we're not afraid of sin, that which will condemn us in that day. May the God of all grace supply our every need, that through our faith we would be steadfast to resist the devil. James tells us he will flee from you. James experienced that. He didn't just say that. He experienced it. Have you experienced it? Have I experienced it? The devil fled from me. Have you ever experienced it? Dear ones, it's only faith that did it. It's not my greatness. It's not my steadfastness. It's resistance through faith in God, my Lord and my Savior. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
We're exhorted to a life of faith, to trust in the Lord and to believe upon him and the power of his might, that he will never leave us. And these are comforting words and an exhortation we need to take to heart. There were some verses here that led me to other verses, and it's a thought that we need to have his word alive within us as we walk this walk of faith that he has called us to, and that his word might reverberate within our minds consistently, that we might overcome this enemy of our soul that we have. So one verse that we read this afternoon was, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That led me to Philippians 4:6 that says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be anxious about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." As we have this faith in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, as we draw near unto him through prayer and through supplication, "Lord, help me through this difficult situation. Help me through this suffering. Help me through this, whatever it might be." So by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. So these are some words that we can take with us. Casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. And so we don't need to be anxious about anything. We bring our prayer and supplication to him in faith. Another verse that we read this afternoon that is very powerful, it speaks about our enemy. He says, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." This is the enemy of our soul that we have. He's looking to devour our souls. We know that we're no match for our enemy. He's far more powerful than us. But we also have faith that he's not more powerful than God. And so we go back to his word. And his word tells us in 1 John 4:4, it's a verse that we ought to commit to our hearts and to our minds because it's very powerful. "Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world." Let's always remember that. Yes, we have an enemy of our soul. Yes, we have and he wants to devour us. But greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. And so we have faith in this. And we focus on that. And we live for him. And we glorify him. We be those shining lights that he calls us to be as we live this life of faith that he has called us to. So may God bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.